The Columbia Workshop has always been interested in new writers and experimental forms of radio technique. For it is this program's aim to uncover the unusual. Undoubtedly, throughout the country, there are individuals and groups of individuals who are devoting much of their time to experiments in program presentation. If possible, the workshop would like to recognize the efforts of those so engaged. It just happens that in our Hollywood studios at Station KNX, a group of the young employees have been conducting such experiments over the shortwave station W6XDA. These youngsters are the broadcasters of tomorrow, beginning their careers as mailroom boys, secretaries, transcription operators, script girls, and theater ushers. The Columbia Workshop has watched these young people do many interesting things during their first term of training. Tonight, you are invited to hear typical examples of their experiments. We take you now to the studio laboratory of the CBS Junior Staff of Hollywood.
I work in the transcription.
I'm an elevator operator.
I'm a secretary.
I'm a theater usher.
I run a teletype machine.
I am a script girl.
I'm a tour guide.
I'm a sound effect technician.
I work in music clearance. I check.
And I work in the mailroom, sorting and distributing the thousands of fan letters received daily by your favorite stars. But aside from our regular jobs, we members of the CBS junior staff have a common interest, the active production of radio programs. So that we may develop this ambition, the Columbia Network has placed at our disposal its shortwave unit, W6XDA, and we operate it just as if it were a regular broadcasting station. We have our own program director, production manager, continuity chief, publicity department, chief announcer, engineering staff, and a department of special events. This evening we present a group of three dramas, typical of those given each week over our station. And here is the chief announcer of our junior staff, Bob Fisk, to set the scene for the first of these productions.
Thank you, Wes Mirrus. The Surrealist play, Dialogue with Music, was written by Mr. Charles Tracy, who, by the way, made a previous contribution to the Columbia Workshop in 1937. Of this type of drama, Mr. Tracy says,
Surrealism is an art that cannot be fully understood by the rational mind, even as our dreams cannot be correctly interpreted, because its very substance is an irrational composition. We therefore ask that our audiences do not try to understand, but rather receive our offering only as an interesting and unusual form of entertainment.
The CBS Junior Group presents Charles Tracy's Dialogue with Music, starring Secretary Eleanor Ross as the girl and tour guide Norman McDonald as the cowboy. Directed by theater usher Gene Twombly, with original music scored and conducted by commercial music librarian Kenneth Hodge.
Are you plumb sure you love me, gal? I've been hearing you sigh so much lately, it seems like you ain't happy like you was at first.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry that you're hurt. I'll turn my head the next time I saw.
Of course, I know you must be getting kind of saddle sore by now.
Oh, no, it isn't that.
But you said that you'd love me forever if I'd take you to the end of the lakeshore. And you did seem so happy till we got there.
Oh, please forgive me, cowboy. You're so fine and strong, and my horse is so gentle. Why, I didn't even notice our jogging. But I've always wanted to go where there are no shadows. In the distance, I've seen the other end of the lake shore where the shadows seem to vanish. But when you said that we were at the end, we'd not come to the distance, and there they were, all around us, the shadows,
But, Cal, can't you see that light makes the shadows?
The sky is light, and yet the sky is clear and even.
Sure, but it's where the light touches the earth that shadows come, like when these things like trees, but there ain't no trees round here.
Trees, you say? Oh, cowboy, how little you know. Don't you see the shadows everywhere? On my face, from my fingernails, on the surface of the earth, from the rocks, from pebbles. Why, even all of the grains of sand cast shadows, and they're always moving. That's one from the horse's ear, the terrible thing. Look at the dark imp skipping about. flitting here and there. Here now, there then. Shadows, edges are so sharp, sharp, they cut me. At the end of the shore of the three-sided lake, it was the same. Shadows, shadows. It's the same here on our side. For I fear that when we get to the third side, it'll be the same. Say, cowboy, take me to the fourth side of the lake.
But, gal, there ain't no other side. Only poets dream of such things. Now, folks can only see three sides to anything. And what they can't see, there.
Where is all of the dark light, cowboy? I've looked into the deep lake, and there I've not seen shadows. Only darkness. Do you think I belong down there?
Now, a horse is a fine thing. Me and this one is lined up to compete in all the rodeos this season.
Of course, I can't see the far side of the lake, but somehow I think there is one. Somehow.
Now, this baby Pinto sure knows his stuff, gal, when it comes to roping the steers.
Oh, if I could only think. Then perhaps I could trace the shadows to their source. The blessed source of dark light.
Pinto knows just the right time to stiffen his front legs, and he ain't been trained much, neither. It just seems natural to him. He watches the rope leaving my hand, takes three more gallops, and stiffens. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Listen, cowboy. I hear a strange noise.
Where, gal? I don't hear nothing, just a rattler over in the shadow of that grease brush.
A snake! A snake! Come back!
Horses turn out for snakes. Horses.
Horses. Horses. Shadows. Shadows. Snakes. Snakes.
A calf in 12 seconds. Tain't possible, they say. It ain't it? Pinto and Neil, Sean. I can hear Happy, the announcer. Crowds are cheering. Cowboy champion of the world.
Look, cowboy. Look. The shadow in the sky. Oh, it's horrible. Horrible. It's a demon. Oh, cowboy, what is it? What is it? It grows bigger. Here comes the wind. The wind.
Cyclone. Quick, gal. Get off your horse. Get under brush.
In my sailboat, sweetness. I've been watching your trouble with the light light and waiting for you for a very long time.
But, darling, I suffered so with the shadows, and now they're gone. Oh, you're so sweet and peaceful. Poet, my darling, was it you I longed for?
Yes, my love. But you were mistaken in thinking that the shadows hurt you. It was the cruel, sharp edges of light light that cut into your precious soul. Come. Come into my arms.
Oh, yes. Yes, I see now. But hold me tighter, 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 dear. We are drifting, drifting away from light light into dark light. And as we go, I see the sharp edges. Yet I see clear as we go, as we go. Oh, why is it so, dear poet? And when will I not hear the horses tramping, tramping?
Poor, tired, sweet soul. You are entering into the dark light of eternal life. In my arms of true love, you are dreaming, drifting, dying away from the misunderstandings and sufferings of the world of light light. But my love, you see clearly because we are gliding into the shadows. Unbroken shadows. Love's haven. It is the fourth side of the lake.
Kiss me. Kiss. Kiss.
Our second presentation deals with a more concrete form of life, one with which the author and cast are both familiar. Written and directed by Rich Hall of the Music Clearance Department and played by 8 junior staff members, Fraternity Meeting is a radio sketch concerned with a phase of life from which many of us have just graduated. It features tour guide Bob Hogan as the house president, theater usher James Schillinger as the football player, and sound technician Ray Erlenborn as the secretary. As the sketch opens, we take you back a few months to the time when King Football reigned supreme. Sports writers and commentators were filling the ether waves with who's who and what's what on the gridiron.
This has been Ted Smith, your football forecaster, bringing you the latest developments in the gridiron scene. Time for one more brief bulletin. Stu Campbell, triple threat backfield star from Midwest University, was declared ineligible for the big game of State Saturday because of scholastic difficulties. This will undoubtedly prove a big blow.
Brothers all in the fraternal order of Sigma Sigma Delta, please come to order. Brother Chorister Johnson will lead us in the fraternity song.
All right, fellas.
Brothers all in Sigma Delta, our fraternity, loyal, true to Sigma Delta, we will always be. Sigma Delta, here's to thee, our fraternity, loyal, true to Sigma Delta, we will always be.
Brother High Scribe Newton will read the minutes of the last meeting.
The meeting was called to order by Brother High Counselor DeHolzer. Minutes were read and approved. Brother Treasurer Brown reported that the financial situation was extremely tough. He urged the brothers to pay their bills because Nelson the grocer threatened to cut off all credit unless something were done about the bill. Brother Treasurer Brown asked the brothers if they wanted to continue eating. The brothers all replied in the affirmative. Brother Brown said, then let's see some bills come in. General discussion was held on scholarship plans for the year. Brother High Counselor DeHolzer asked the brothers to remember their initiation pledge to Sigma Sigma Delta that above all things, scholarship came first. Brother Eckhart asked Brother High Counselor DeHolzer if that were the case, how come he flunked Economics 3 last semester? Brother High Counselor DeHolzer declared Brother Eckhart was out of order, also adding that how could he pass the course when the professor was down on him for 6 measly cuts? General discussion was held on campus activities. Brother House Manager Turner made the motion that each pledge be required to supply 6 paddles by next meeting so that the brothers wouldn't have to take boards from the picket fence in the backyard. The motion was seconded and carried. The meeting was adjourned at 8:55 by Brother High Counselor DeHolzer.
Brother High Scribe Newton has just read the minutes. And Brother Johnson, will you please put that magazine away and pay some attention here? Now, are there any corrections or additions? If not, the minutes stand approved as read. We will dispense with all old and new business because of the seriousness of the one problem we have before us tonight. Now, as you all know, this meeting was called because Brother Stu Campbell is ineligible for the big game with State Saturday. Brother Campbell flunked his midterm in Chemistry 1, and it's up to us to find some way to get Brother Campbell up in Chem 1 so that he can play Saturday. Now, we owe it to our great school, fellas, and we owe it to the undying brotherhood of Sigma Sigma Delta. Well, first of all, I think we should have a statement from Brother Campbell as to just how come he flunked that quiz. Brother Campbell?
Honorable High Counselor, brothers, can't tell you why I flunked the quiz. I just flunked it.
Well, did you study for this exam, Brother Campbell?
Sure, I studied for it. I just can't get all them NaCl's and H2O's and all that titration stuff through my head.
Well, if you ask me, I think Brother Campbell's been mousing around too much of that big blonde over at the Theta House.
Oh, yeah? Listen, Stinky, just because she won't give you a date...
Listen, I wouldn't even be seen with that big blonde.
Well, how come you're pulling her up every chance you get, trying to beat my turn?
Quiet, quiet, order! Let's have some order in here.
Who says I call her up?
She says so. You ask me, that's a fine way for one brother to treat another.
Quiet, quiet, quiet!
I ask you to please remember that you're in the sacred meeting hall of Sigma Sigma Delta. I should throw you all out for conduct unbecoming brothers in this society. Brother Johnson, will you please put that magazine away? Now, come on, let's cut out all this personal stuff and act like the gentlemen that we are. We've got to get Brother Camel eligible for that game Saturday, and we're never going to do it by acting like a bunch of old women around here. Now, Brother Camel, will Professor Barnes give you a makeup on that quiz?
Sure he will, but it won't do any good. Just can't savvy that stuff.
Don't say can't, Brother Camel. Brothers of Sigma, Sigma, Delta never say die. That is our creed.
Brother High Counselor.
Yes, Brother Eckert?
I think it's Brother Camel's own fault for signing up for Chem 1. I told him to take a pipe course like Bible.
I had to have Chem 1 for my major.
Quiet, Brother Camel. Brother Eckert has the floor. Are you through, Brother Eckert?
Well, all I gotta say is I warned Brother Camel.
Well, all right, but this isn't helping the situation any. The fact is, Brother Camel signed up for Chem 1, and he's got to get up in it before Saturday or he doesn't play.
Brother High Counselor.
Yes, Brother Newton?
I'm in pretty good with the night watchman over at the science building. If I could get in the chemistry office, I might be able to get the mimeographs on the quiz.
Ah, that won't do any good. There surely won't be any mimeographs on the quiz for just one person.
Yeah, that's right. But thanks for the suggestions anyhow, Brother Newton. Those were the first constructive thoughts we've had this evening.
Say, wait a minute. How about that new whatchamacallit Brother Turner was bragging about the other day?
Please address the chair, Brother Eckert.
Brother High Counselor.
Yes, Brother Eckert?
Brother Turner invented some kind of a thing which he says worked out pretty well in a history quiz last week.
Well, now we're getting someplace. Say, how about this device, Brother Turner?
Oh, no. I'm afraid if I show this thing to these wolves, somebody will let it out.
What?
To the brothers. Somebody will let it out, and then it'll be my neck before the Student Board of Control.
Wait a minute, Brother Turner. I'm surprised to hear you talk that way. Members in the great brotherhood of Sigma Sigma Delta are bound to an oath of secrecy. That is our creed.
Okay, I'll tell you about it. But the first one of you guys that talks to this about anybody will answer to me personally, see?
Brothers, I ask you to please remember our bond of secrecy. Now, Brother Turner, what about this device?
Well, it's just a long piece of adding machine ribbon wound between two pencil stubs like a scroll, and it has a rubber band around it. Now, all you do is to type the whole semester's work on the thing, and you roll it back and forth like a scroll in one hand.
Sounds pretty complicated to me.
Listen, Eckert, this is better than anything you ever invented.
Quiet, quiet. Please remember to address the chair. Well, now, how about it, Brother Turner? Is it complicated or not?
Complicated nothing. Anybody in the world can use this thing. It's foolproof.
Brothers in the Fraternal Order of Sigma Sigma Delta, I commend you for coming to the aid of a brother in need. Brother Johnson, for the last time, will you please put that magazine away?
Hey, wait a minute, fellas.
Please address the chair, Brother Johnson.
Well, Brother High Counselor?
Yes, Brother Johnson, but make it snappy.
Well, say, fellas, I think we've all been overlooking one very important fact, and that is that Professor Barnes is a member in good standing of Sigma Sigma Delta.
What?
Yes, sir, California Alpha, 1932.
You mean he's one of the brothers?
Absolutely. Why, I read it right here in this magazine. And say, if you guys had read the fraternity magazine, you'd know these things.
Well, that changes the whole situation. And it just goes to prove that no member of Sigma Sigma Delta ever has to lower himself to dishonesty, no matter what the cause may be. That is our creed. Now listen, Brother Camel, all you've got to do is go in and see Brother Barnes tomorrow. Wear your pin out in the open where he can see it. Give him the grip. Then tell him that you realize that you haven't been putting in quite enough.
Ted Smith, your favorite football forecaster, bringing you latest developments in the gridiron scene. And here's good news for Midwest University students and alumni. Stu Campbell, Midwest ace backfield star, who earlier in the week was declared ineligible for the game at stake, has made up his scholastic deficiencies and will definitely play Saturday.
All the characters and all the places named in fraternity meeting are purely fictitious, and any similarity to actual methods employed by football players in passing examinations is purely coincidental.
Third of tonight's experimental productions by the CBS junior staff turns from the serial comic activities of the chapter room to the real-life drama that plays in a crowded courtroom, a courtroom now buzzing with excitement since the return...
Defendant will rise. The foreman of the jury will rise and read the verdict.
We, the jury, do find the defendant guilty.
Order! Order in the court!
Daniel Trent, you have been tried and found guilty of murder. It now becomes the duty of this court to pass sentence upon you as decreed by the law of this state. It is therefore ordered that at 5 o'clock on the morning of March 21st, in the state penitentiary...
Outside This World, from junior writer Joel Malone's story, adapted by transcription operator Don Sanford, and directed by junior producer Ernest Jarvis. Featuring tour guide Norman McDonald and theater usher Byron Palmer in the two personalities of Danny Trent. In the mind of every man, there speak two kinds of voices. Those that come from without, and those that remain within. From both of these, this story takes its form.
Half an hour more, I guess. There's lots of time. Shoot a game of pool in half an hour. Get from second and grand clear down to Mike's place.
We're gonna die in half an hour. Don't you know it, Danny? We're gonna die.
Oh, shut up. You ain't Danny Trent. I am. I don't know nothing about you. Who are you anyway?
You know me, Danny. I'm you. I'm the real you.
Ah, you ain't nothing. I'm lighting a cigarette.
Oh, that won't get rid of me, Danny. I'm here now. I've always been here, really. And you've always known it. That's why you've tried so hard to hide from me.
Ah, shut up. You're talking like a little kid.
I am a little kid, Danny. I'm you.
I ain't a kid. I'm a man. There's been plenty of years since I growed up.
Kids don't never grow up, Danny. They just get too big for themselves.
Ah, shut up, shut up. They come to get me. I can't let them see me dreaming, can I? I gotta show them I'm tough.
All right, Danny, it's time.
He says it's time, Danny. Don't let him take us. Get back in the corner. Hold on to those bars. Scream for him to go away.
Shut up, you yellow little rat. I'm running this show.
Don't let him kill us, Danny. Don't.
Sure, Warden. I've been waiting for you. I wondered what was taking you so long.
Still game, huh, Danny?
Game? Say, what do you guys got to scare me? A little hanging? That ain't nothing. Why, I'll be back in 5 minutes to hex a lot of you. You better look under your bed tonight, Warden. The ghost of Danny Trent will be sitting there waiting to say boo.
I'll have to hand it to you, Danny. All right, come along, then.
That's it. Now I got him laughing. Take it like I took everything else, with a grin.
They can't kill me, Danny. I never had a chance to live. 3 years ago, you began to crowd in on me. First, I liked you. You were a man. You could do things I was afraid
of. Shut up, shut up. One of these other guys is talking to me. I gotta listen to him, don't I, to be ready with a comeback?
...for taking the life of a fellow man. Give him strength in this, his last hour upon earth. Let him see the light and repent his wrongdoing. Grant him, O Father, your divine mercy. Help it in the hour of judgment.
A priest. He makes me feel kind of funny. I gotta quit listening to him. He might make me weaken. There's the gallows. That don't make me feel so good either. Something seems...
No. I'm Danny now. I'm Danny, and I'm out in the yard, and I'm breathing the open air. Oh, 3 years since I've breathed. Let me take it in deep. Look there. The stars. Just a few of them left. That poem I learned in school. And the sun has flung the stone that set the stars aflight. The sun will be here soon now. I like seeing the sun. Wait. I won't see it. I'll be dead. I'll be dead.
Get back there, you sniveling kid. Get back where you belong. You ain't gonna spoil my show. You ain't gonna do it. Yeah, I guess I got control of myself now. I don't know what happened. Thought for a minute I was gonna faint. That'd be a laugh. Yeah. Danny Trent, fainting.
You're the reporters, Danny.
Any statement you'd like to make?
Got anything to say, Trent?
Yeah, how about a story, Mr.
Trent? Let's have something, Danny.
Don't tell me they let dames in at hangings.
Why not? They hang them, don't they?
All right. I got a swell story. This is headline stuff. I've been saving it for you guys, and you too, sister.
Fine, let's have it.
Glad to see you're so anxious, fellas. Meet me tomorrow, and I'll give you the whole thing. I got a date right now. Got a date I can't miss. Awful sorry, fellas. Yeah, awful sorry.
All right, Danny. We start up now.
All right, Danny, we start up now. Up those 13 steps. I don't break now, I don't. I do it the way I planned it. Let him print it in the papers. Danny Trent was laughing and defiant, That's it, laughing and defiant. Sure, it's easy.
Danny, you can't forget me. Not these last few minutes. Remember when you got your first job? I was with you then. It was driving a bakery wagon. Oh, you were a good worker, too. Smart, reliable, quick to catch on. Your boss, Mr. Johnson, always said you were a good boy.
Listen. That's 12 more steps, and I ain't gonna stop. Not for a second.
Danny! Danny!
Shut up. I ain't listening, I tell you. I ain't listening.
Remember Helen, the kid? It was me she fell in love with, not you. Oh, those plans we had. First to get married. Danny and Helen married. Gonna build a house someday, too, we were. Imagine living in a house. Never lived any place but a room. A room in an old tenement. But Helen and me together, it was gonna be different.
Them reporters, they make me sick. They're a bunch of vultures.
They don't mean it, Danny. It's just the way they talk.
You were gonna fix it up for Helen and me. You were gonna make money quick. I remember what they said
to me. Danny, you wanna make some easy
dough? Married, ain't you, kiddo? How about cashing in on some easy pickings? You and the wife could use it, couldn't you?
Danny Trent, you're just the guy we need for this thing. Now, with that job, you gotta be over.
And once they said those things to you, I couldn't hold you back. That's when you became Danny. And every time I tried to talk, you smothered me back. Man's work, you said. But Helen stuck with you. Because she was trying to reach me. Oh, you know the things she used to say.
Danny, why don't you give up? Can't you see you're ruining everything, Danny? I love you. But can't you understand? I won't go on being married to a criminal. I won't.
But you wouldn't let me talk to her. You went to your parents for help. Remember what they
don't
said.
Don't listen to her, Danny.
You'll be the first to come running back when you're in the big
she
money.
She won't have them nice things you'll be able to buy.
Even last night, you wouldn't let me talk to her. Last night when she came to say goodbye,
Danny. Oh, Danny, why wouldn't you listen to me? Now it's too late. It's too late. And I loved you so.
That's it, Danny. Now just step right over here.
This is me they're taking. This is me they're going to hang. Man, with a rope going around my neck.
Anything to say, Danny? Your last words, I'm afraid.
Yes. I'd like to say goodbye. Say goodbye.
Say goodbye to the gang for me, Warden. Any of them you happen to see.
Oh, okay, Danny. You know, for a minute you sounded different. I guess it's that hood. Good luck, boy.
Why didn't you let me say it? Say goodbye to help.
Oh, it's no use, kid. Ain't it better to let her think it's me the killer, ain't it? There's lots of ways you and me could have helped each other. It's too bad I never heard you till this morning. We'd have done all right if we just got together before.
You mean it, Danny, don't you? Oh, gee, that's swell. Danny, I want to see the sun go...
Boy, what nerve. Killer's got nerve, all right.
Oh, they're all alike. I've covered dozens of these hangings. And every time they walk right up those 13 steps, like this guy, without ever giving it a thought.
You have just heard a presentation by the CBS Junior Staff of Hollywood. Their experimental work has been completed for tonight, and now they must return to their regular jobs as mailroom boys, secretaries, transcription operators, script girls, and theater ushers. Their work tonight in the Columbia Workshop marks a step forward, another milestone toward the goal they seek. For one day, these young people will take their places as the real men behind the microphones. They are the broadcasters of tomorrow. The framework of the production tonight was under the direction of Glenn Middleton. Dick Hazel, office assistant, was the engineer, and sound effects by James Murphy. CBS wishes to thank Local 47 of the American Federation of Musicians, the American Federation of Radio Artists, and the Associated Broadcast Technicians of the IBEW for permitting the junior staff to present tonight's special program. Next week, the Columbia Workshop returns to New York to present a modern version of Shakespeare's comedy, The Taming of the Shrew. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.